Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Cătălin Câmpanu, and today's show is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. In today's top story, air raid sirens went off in the Israeli cities of Jerusalem and Eilat on Sunday, June 19, for at least 50 minutes following what government officials have described as a cyber incident. The Israel National Cyber Directorate confirmed the incident but said the alarms came from public address systems managed by local authorities and not the ones managed by the Israeli Defense Forces. The agency asked local authorities to review the security posture of their air raid and public address systems by changing default passwords, enabling two-factor authentication, and restricting access to the management interfaces only to trusted IP addresses. While several Israel-based security firms suggested the attack was carried out by Iranian hackers, government officials told the Jerusalem Post that it's still uncertain who was behind the intrusion. Everyone rushed to attribute the incident to Iranian hackers in light of similar intrusions orchestrated by Iranian-linked groups in the spring and summer of 2020, intrusions against Israeli water and wastewater management systems. In other news, Flagstar Bank, one of the largest banks in the US, disclosed a security incident during which a threat actor gained unauthorized access to the personal data of more than 1.5 million customers. According to a data breach disclosure letter, the hack took place last year in December and was discovered on June 2, 2022. In government-related news, US President Joe Biden signed two cybersecurity bills into law this week. The first, named the State and Local Government Cybersecurity Act, will allow CISA to offer state and local governments help to upgrade digital security tools and procedures. The second, named the Federal Rotational Cyber Workforce Program Act, establishes a rotational cyber workforce development program across several government agencies in an effort to compete with a usually more lucrative private sector. Elsewhere in Europe, the German Green Party said that a cyber attack hit its IT systems and impacted email accounts belonging to Annalena Baerbock and Robert Habeck, ministers in the German government. Der Spiegel reported that other party officials such as Omid Nouripour and Ricarda Lang also had emails forwarded to external servers. Meanwhile in Russia, Maksud Shadayev, head of the Ministry of Digital Development, told RBC TV on Monday that Russian IT experts who fled the country after Russia's invasion of Ukraine are now returning home. Shadayev said that the cancel culture and the wariness of Western companies when it came to hiring Russian specialists because of fears of spying played a crucial role in many IT specialists returning back to Russia. In addition, Russian government officials said that while they legally banned the use of VPN services inside Russia to bypass local restrictions on accessing banned foreign websites, they are not currently planning to impose fines on any users who break this rule. In cybercrime and malware news, a new carding portal named Biden Cash is making its presence felt on the cybercrime underground, allowing fraudsters to purchase stolen payment card data on the cheap. Discovered by Italian security firm D3 Lab, the store launched earlier this year, and the company believes it sells data acquired through web skimming attacks. According to S2W, the Biden Cash portal claims to sell the data of 7.9 million payment cards from users all over the world. In another report published on Tuesday, Cisco Talos said that it linked recent infections with the Avos Lacker ransomware to hacked VMware Unified Access Gateways that were not patched for the Log4Shell vulnerability. In another report published on Tuesday, the Digital Citizens Alliance has discovered that several top domain registrars are allowing customers to register domains that appear to be intended for criminal use. This includes domains registered with names suggesting the sale of malware, stolen card data, opioids, untraceable guns, and fake COVID-19 lures and cards. Among the companies that are failing to police their own domain registrations, the report listed Namecheap, GoDaddy, and Network Solution. Europol announced on Tuesday that Dutch police detained a phishing gang at the request of Belgian authorities. According to Dutch officials, the gang engaged in email, SMS and WhatsApp spam that redirected users to e-banking phishing sites. Dutch police said the suspects are men between the ages of 25 and 36 from the cities of Amsterdam, Almere, Rotterdam and Spijkenisse. In addition, a 25-year-old woman from the city of Deventer was also detained. Europol said the suspects were very prolific and are believed to have stolen millions of euros from victims. In APT-related news, Lab52 has published a report on the recent muddy water APT campaigns observed in the wild. The report includes a command and control server OPSEC mistake that exposed which countries the Iranian group was targeting. In addition, Kaspersky published a report on a new APT group they named TORICARE. The Russian security firm said the group has been active since December 2020 and has targeted high-profile entities in Europe and Asia. TORICARE arsenal is comprised of the Samurai and Ninja backdoors, and while the group initially targeted Microsoft Exchange email server, since December 21, Kaspersky said the group has also gone after Windows desktops. In vulnerability-related news, a security researcher named Filip Dragovic has published details and proof-of-concept code for a new NTLM relay attack that he named DFS Coerce. The attack abuses the Microsoft Distributed File System Protocol, a public key infrastructure service that is used to authenticate users' services and devices, and the DFC Coerce technique allows an attacker to hijack a local Windows domain. DFC Coerce is part of a class of NTLM relay attacks that abuse various Windows protocols to trick domain controllers into authenticating a malicious NTLM relay, granting the attacker access to admin privileges and control of the entire domain. Microsoft published details and mitigations for this class of attacks last year. Applying the mitigations should stop DFC Coerce attacks. Security firm Forescout published a new report on Tuesday about 56 vulnerabilities the company calls OT Icefall. The vulnerabilities impact 26 models of operational technology industrial equipment from 10 different vendors, including Honeywell, Motorola, Siemens, and others. In other vulnerability news, security researcher Eton Zvir said he'd found severe security flaws in the backend infrastructure used by Jacuzzi for its line of smart hot tubs. In a blog post on Monday, the researcher said he was able to hack this backend, known as the Smart Tub Network, and was able to view details for all the company's smart tub owners. The company appears to have secured this backend, but has ignored and shunned the researcher and has not notified its customers about the accidental access to their private details. In tech news, Mulved, one of today's biggest VPN providers, has removed the ability for customers to purchase monthly subscriptions, which are recurring payments via PayPal or payment cards. The company justified this decision as a privacy protection feature, as this process would entail mandatory login of users' details. Users can still purchase VPN servers via one-time payments, as this process requires less data stored about its users. In other interesting news, Minerva Labs said they discovered that the Adobe Acrobat Reader app is blocking at least 30 security tools from injecting their code into its process to perform their duties and scan PDF files for malicious content. The decision, while most likely done for performance and stability reasons, will most likely end up exposing its users to malicious code embedded in PDF files. And last but not least, Apple is adding a new feature in iOS 16 and macOS this fall called Private Access Tokens. This feature will allow users to identify themselves as real users on websites and bypass modern CAPTCHA fields. Apple said the private access tokens would be generated based on a user's device identifier and Apple ID account, but that servers would not be able to track a user's identity using them. Cloudflare and Fastly have already announced support for private access tokens, according to Mac Rumors. This concludes the news section of our podcast, and now we'll hear from our sponsor. Airlock Digital co-founder Daniel Schell is here to discuss a recent trend in mal spam campaigns, which are now heavily relying on LNK shortcut files to deploy malware on user systems. This trend was also highlighted in our last week's show by the Proofpoint team and was also the subject of a report by cybersecurity firm McAfee on Tuesday as well. Here's Daniel's thoughts on how to deal with some of these nasty LNK file payloads arriving via email these days.
In another classic case of what's old is new again, this week on Twitter, German Fernandez shared a Vince McMahon reaction meme that showed that Emotet, QuatBot, and IcedID malware, amongst others, have moved to use Windows shortcut link files in their attacks. Generally, these attacks originate in phishing emails with password or zip files attached or linked, and when the target opens the zip file and manually runs the embedded link file, it will then start an attack chain that will generally involve downloading a DLL-based payload via curl or PowerShell, and then executing that via run-DLL or RegServer32. There was some online commentary about how surprisingly poor signature-based detections of this type of tradecraft are, which I would say would be most likely because we're having trusted OS processors download and execute the tradecraft in a DLL form. As double-clicking a link file will execute the commands via explorer.exe, something that we've been toying with is just proactively blocking all run-DLL32, RegServer2, and curl execution when the parent process is explorer. We found only a couple of situations where this occurs legitimately, which have so far been easy to tune out. This seems to be a pretty easy win, as most of these processes actually require command line arguments to run normally, and therefore they aren't executed from Windows Explorer in normal operations. In summary, as link files themselves are challenging to control, have a think about raising detections or proactively blocking Explorator EC from calling common executables that are used by this tradecraft.
This is it for today's show. You can find links to all reports in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.